Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Guys, and welcome to this new episode of the Partido podcast, where we talk everything Aleti. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about Aleti Feminino and the progress they have made this season and what happened and everything. So joining me on this special episode is our Joselai from Twitter, Yash. Yash, welcome to the Papot. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And yeah, ready to talk everything Atletico Feminino.
Yeah, so if you don't, I'm sure most of you know Yash. He produces very great reviews online and he's one of the most knowledgeable guys about the foot fem, that's the female football. So diving straight into things, we are going to be talking about a brief talk on what happened last season and what went wrong, because that was last season Aleti finished fourth. That was the first time since the 2011-12 season since Aleti has not finished in the top three. That means they could not qualify for the Women's Champions League, and that was really bad and it was really a tough season for Atletico because they kind of changed coaches mid-season, and there were a lot of games in which things were not going, a lot of draw games. So Yash, what do you think went wrong for Aleti last season?
Yeah, I mean, it was a disappointing season overall, to be fair. Like, they did end up winning the Super Cup, but I mean, it's still not ideal. So what went wrong and what is still a problem for Atleti, I feel like, is their inconsistency in front of goal. They aren't like lethal. They lack a true, you know, striker figure, in my opinion. So they miss a lot of chances. Like, just for example, take the Chelsea game from last season, Champions League. I mean, they got three penalties. None of them went in. So, like, I mean, you can't ask for more, to be fair. Like, if you're getting three penalties, one of them has to go in. So that is the problem. Like, Atleti do create chances, but they are never able to capitalize on that. That is one of the issues that I felt that hurt Atleti really badly, because they weren't losing the games, but they weren't winning either. So they were dropping points by drawing the game a lot of times. They were struggling to get the goals, and most of the goals only came from Deyna and Ludmila. So they were leading the line, but there were no goals from the wide players. Like, Tony Duggan had a really poor season. Turid Nag didn't manage to, you know, settle in. So that was obviously tough in terms of attack. The other thing that I felt was that hurt, you know, Atleti in the previous season, it was not having a good midfield. Like, the midfield wasn't as balanced. With Virginia out, it really left a hole. Like, Virginia is a great player, great, you know, very important in the build-up and everything. But she had to get surgery for her brain tumor, and now she's back. What a champ, obviously. Like, but yeah, her presence was obviously missed in the midfield, so that was a huge miss. Another thing was a lot of changes, dude. Like, a lot of changes in the managerial position. When you constantly keep shaking things up that much, so it takes a bit away from the squad to settle in and to, you know, keep producing, to gaining momentum, to keep producing that on the field. Like if a new manager comes in, he comes in with his own ideas, and then there's a shakeup of things, and then the players that were in the lineup before, they aren't in the lineup again. So those sort of changes, they hurt in the those sort of quick changes, they hurt in the in building any sort of momentum, in my opinion. And lastly, it was injuries as well. Like injuries did hurt you. Like there were injuries to key players, there were a lot of changes brought in and out. So that was obviously another factor that doesn't help in building any sort of momentum and building any sort of reaching your aims and stuff like that. So yeah, I think these were the main issues that I could point out in terms of what made Atletico Madrid's last season not that great.
Yeah, you just talked about the fact that they have not been clean time for Uruguay, and that's true. Atleti won three titles from 2016-17 up to 18-19, in which they were the champions. And on those seasons, they were close to scoring 100 goals. But in the previous season, the goal has kind of dropped, and it's not just down to chance creation. Well, for the female football, it's not really easy having the stats, because to watch the game is so difficult. But the goals are drying up, and you talked about the highly dependency on Lumila and Dana, which both of them are not really out and out strikers. So what do you think the club should do? Because you talked about the fact that they need a striker, but Ajibide has been there this season. She has acted like, I would say, a target woman, which she's able to have that presence, but she mostly drifts out wide.
So what needs to be done is Atleti needs to sign a out-and-out striker to, complement what Dana is doing, or what, complement what Ludmila brings up front. And I think Atleti do have the answers. Like, it isn't all doom and gloom. Like, if you look at the table currently, Atletico Madrid is the second highest scoring team in the league. Yeah, they are scoring at a good rate, but the problem is there are inconsistency, there are patches in between where they don't manage to, break the deadlock. Once the deadlock is broken, it's usually that Atleti now then sail and score more. But breaking that initial deadlock has been really tough for them a lot of times. So I think one of the solutions that would work is getting an out-and-out striker, a proper number nine. And to be fair, there is an option in the squad as well that can be utilized more, and that will bring goals. Now, obviously, last season, Tony Duggan and Turid Nag didn't really work that well. Could not add goals from the wide areas. But now you've got Barbara Latore and Tembi Kagatlana, both great players. I mean, from the wide areas, you need goals. Kagatlana is there. Like, I think Kagatlana needs to be used a bit more, because she brings that directness, she brings that goal threat from the left hand side cutting in, or like she can dribble into players, she can score solo goals. So like she can be a difference maker, and she needs to be used more on that left hand side. I feel like Barbara Latore, again, she can be a difference maker, like we saw against Real Madrid as well. She was awesome, she was really great. So that is what I feel like this season, it hasn't been as prominent, but it's still what is limiting Atletico Madrid to reach that, to properly secure that position of the second best team in the league behind Barcelona. So that is what is I feel needs to be done, to utilize Kagatlana more, and to try to just get over that initial barrier. I mean, it's tough, but you have to utilize what you have at hand right now, and I think Atleti do have the tools to make it work.
Well, when you were talking about the issues of last season, you also mentioned Atleti's midfield. It was really a mess because they had to play attacking. Even times they now played in midfield, which was really bad because the limited option, like you said, thankfully Virginia Tranquilla is back, which is great for the team. And you also mentioned the fact about the changes in the management. This season, Oscar Fernandez was brought in from Madrid CFF, which is great news for the team because now that's a little bit of stability. Also, they Atleti brought in so many players, especially in midfield. You had Babanini, which is basically an attacking midfielder. You had Sheila Garcia, and you also have Maitan You have Maitan Lopez, which has been the one who has played all featured in all the games this season, which is great. So talking about Oscar Fernandez and the transfers this season, Aliti went for more local players. That means they went for players who played in the league as compared to previous season, in which they brought in so many players who were not used to the league. And maybe that was really one of the causes of Aliti going down. But this season, they went for the league and went for some of the top players in the league. We already mentioned Barbara Latore and Kaglana, which are great options. They were both, for example, Kaglana did very well at Eibar, and you talk about her providing goals from wide areas, which is great. So what many Atleti fans, they don't really follow the female team that much. Most of them just rely on the scoreline and what information they can get from Atleti Universe, La Colchonera, or maybe from the Pat Podcast page on Twitter. I would like you to maybe talk more on Oscar Garcia and most of the players that came in this season.
Yeah, so there were a host of changes that happened this season. Yeah, so obviously Atleti brought a lot of players in to compensate for the outgoings as well. Like Tony Duggan went out, Turid Nak went out. And the replacements were pretty good, I feel like. Obviously, Tony Duggan and Nag didn't do that well, so they brought in good players like Barbara Latore, who is again has played in the league, has done well. So they brought her in. Then they also brought in Banini. Like one of the issues was also that there wasn't a solid, out and out playmaker in the team. So Banini brings that as well. So you can like rotate her with Dana when needs be, or like she can be a difference maker in the big games. She has that big game pedigree to her. So Banini is obviously great. Then I think the best signing that Atleti could have made and they did was Maitane. Like by far the one of the best defensive midfielders in the league. And what a player. Like her importance is clearly reflected in the fact that she has played every single minute this season in the league. And I mean she's just fantastic. Like she is also versatile. Like when we get, as I get into the tactics, I'll mention how she has been used this season. But she brings so much stability to that midfield, whether it's playing alongside Lacy or it's playing alongside Messi. It's always like everything flows to her. She brings out when off the ball, she is defending spaces really well. She's marking players really well. And she has the passing ability as well to, unlock defenses and play the balls in behind. So she's really great. One of the players that also Atleti brought in to compensate for the goals up front was Sheila Garcia from Rayo. She has been utilized at fullbacks as well at times, but yeah, she's more of a forward and she can fill in there. Very important for Rayo in the previous seasons when she was there. Now, I mean, she's translating and was rewarded with a call up to the national team recently as well in the Arnold Clark Cup. So yeah. Also, we cannot forget about Lola Gallardo. Like now, that's one less area for Atleti to worry about. Like they have Lindahl and then they have Lola as well. So that's the goalkeeper position a bit secured for the coming few seasons, at least. Then they also got a Swedish player in the winter market, Lundqvist. I might be pronouncing it wrong. I'm really sorry if I am. Yeah. So. Yeah, apologies for that. But yeah, so they brought her in. Then there was also Amanda Frisby, who has been injured. But I think she, if, when fit, she could also help the team a lot. So yeah, there were a host of changes. And one of the changes was also in the dugout with Oscar Fernandez coming in. So the way he likes to set his team up, from what I have seen this season, is it's a basic 4-4-2 on the surface, but he also likes to go for a 4-3-3 from times. Now, what changes here is like when what matters here is the midfield combination that dictates how Atleti play this season. Like suppose there are two major possible combinations. It's either Messi is there or Messi isn't there. Like if we have to categorize it like that, when Messi is there. And she's playing alongside Maitane and Lacy. That means that Maitane will be further advanced generally, because Messi is that destroyer kind of defensive midfielder who like provides the screening presence in front of the defensive line. When Messi isn't there and Maitane is paired with Lacy, then Maitane takes up a more conservative role where she is defending, where she is providing the defensive coverage, where she is covering the spaces, where she is providing a screening presence in front of the defense. But yeah, Maitane's role has been really, really an interesting one, because when she's playing alongside Messi, she usually acts more of a box-to-box midfielder, where she is usually, you know, you can also at times see her attacking the box. She's making those runs into the box. She's really, she's a very aware player of the spaces as well. Like, she knows where to be at what time. So that makes her runs into the box and stuff like that very crucial. And usually how Atleti like to play is, it obviously starts from the back. They obviously like to keep the ball with the players they have. There is a lot of verticality in their passing. Like, the center backs would split. And obviously sometimes whenever Messi is playing, Messi likes to drop in either between or on the outside of the back two. And that's where the build-up begins, with a established back three and stuff like that. So obviously when they're passing out the back, they obviously look for vertical options. With Messi in the team, that frees up the other two midfielders like Lacy and Maitane, who are obviously the two eights. And what happens is Lacy and Dana up front, they rotate. So like it would sometimes be Dana, we will talk about Dana specifically because she has been incredible in the last two seasons. So what Dana does is she's really intelligent in pulling the defenders down with her, which opens up space for Lacy to then attack. So that has been a common theme with these rotations. So that is what I feel like the way Atleti try to build up play and stuff like that. It's not really a very cross-heavy approach or anything like that, but they can go direct as well, with Ludmila usually is the one that stays higher up the pitch as an outlet for when situations on the transition and stuff like that appear. So yeah, I mean, that is basically it.
Well, thank you, Yash. I'm sorry, guys, I made a mistake. It was supposed to be Oscar Fernandez. Yeah, you talked about the way Atleti did everything. For those guys, I'm hearing Messi. It's not only a Messi guy, it's Messi girl. She's really one of Atleti's. She's one of Atleti's captain this season, and she's really one of the best players in the league. Like Yash talked about, she's really a destroyer. Yash, you mentioned something important, which we said we're going to talk about Dana specifically, and I want us to start with Maitane, because her role has been really important. Like you said, when she plays in midfield, she kind of go box to box, but that's not only been the case with Amanda Frisby's injury, because she was brought in from Madrid CFF. That's the club. Oscar Fernandez was there before he came to Atleti. I'm sure he brought her in to play as a starting center back, but her injuries have meant there have been rotations in the center back position, because you have the Dutch, is it Van Dugan, who has been in and out of the team, but she is really a solid option. And at times, Maitane has had to play in the center of defense. And that has helped Atleti, because when Maitane has been there, the build-up has really been better than other games. And starting from, compared to the start of the season, lots of things have improved from Oscar Fernandez's tactics. That's Atleti's press is more coordinated, and their passing has improved, and their build-up play, I say their passing the case, because at the start of the season, the idea of build-up from the back was there with Messi dropping deep and everything going. But the issue was when they play against the better team like Granadilla, Real Sociedad, and the team kind of press them, you have them playing a lot of passes under pressure, inaccurate passes. But that has improved. So what was your take on Maitane? Because like you talked, it was really a great sign for Atleti, and man, she has really, I've been impressed by her. What she does off and off the ball, it just really, really great. And that is something Atleti needed, because we talked about the fact that last season Atleti were really lacking in midfield, actually with Regina out, but bringing in someone like that to show up things, and the amount of trust Oscar has in her showed, like we just said, she has played every minute. So what is your take on Maitane's role? Because she is not only playing in midfield, but also in defense.
Yeah, I mean, Maitane was arguably one of the best midfielders in the league last season. I mean, she, in my opinion, she is one of the best defensive midfielders in the league, and you know, around the world as well. Like she understands everything about that role really well. She performs it to perfection almost at times. So yeah, I mean, I was actually really unhappy that Real Madrid weren't interested in getting her when the news broke out that she was gonna leave Real Sociedad, because we were in desperate need of a defensive midfielder and Maitane was right there. So yeah, I mean, I was pretty unhappy, but yeah, you can see her importance clearly. Like she is the ever reliant presence in the midfield. She can play multiple roles in either midfield, or when the need be, she can also fill in at defense. But yeah, it's her that those slight tweaks, like when playing alongside Messi, she can be that advanced midfielder. She can go from box to box and use her passing ability more, use her runs more. But when the need comes, when Messi is out of the picture, she can provide that defensive solidity as well. The thing is, with Atleti, the problem also persists in defense. Like the center back pairing isn't that great in my opinion. Like I really rate Laia. Like Laia is one of the best young defenders. I feel like she has got a huge potential, but the problem is Laia has mistakes in her. I don't know if you saw the recent game in the Copa del Arena against Sporting de Huelva.
Yeah, she's easily, I think, one of the things she easily drawn out of position, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, lots of mistakes. And also, she's not really, how can I say, wow, that was really shocking in that game in the Copa.
Yeah, it was a really poor game, not just to take that and dunk on her, but that has been a case for Laia in the recent seasons as well. Like, she'll put out a great performance every once in a while, but there are these mistakes that are part of her game, where her body orientation is poor, where she's turning, where she gets turned very easily, or she gets pulled out of position very easily. So these are the things that needs to be improved. I mean, she used to play in midfield before, but I don't think that is pretty ideal now. She can then at fullback as well when the need be, and she has done some good work there at times. You know, when I can remember when she defended against Sofia Jakobsen last season. I mean, she did decently there, but that is the thing. She has to patch up those inconsistencies that are a part of her game, and that hurt the team a lot. Like against Sporting de Huelva, she was getting turned very easily. In the second goal, she could have shown the player outside of the goal, but instead she turned inside and gave the opportunity to shoot, and the second goal went in. So these are the things that she needs to work on. An Atleti's defense don't really have a leader presence. Van Dongen is there that usually does that, but Van Dongen again isn't a truly commanding figure there. They need somebody that can, you know, take up that metal and, you know, lead the backline really well. That has been missing, and that has hurt Atleti a lot of times, because apart from the inconsistencies in front of goal, if you can't keep your defense tight, you will obviously suffer and lose a lot of points, and that has been the case for Atleti on a few occasions. So that needs to be worked on. But yeah, I feel like those are few things that need to be considered when discussing the entire defensive portion of the game. That includes the defensive midfielder and the backline as well.
Yeah, you talked about Atleti's defenses. Atleti are basically they are conceding averagely a goal for their conceding. They conceded 21 goals in 21 games. That's a goal every game. But in the previous season, that's the title winning campaigns, we had Atleti conceding that maybe after 30 or more games. And the issues defensively have not just been for the centre back pairing. I think you also have issues in fullback, especially on the right back position. Because on the left we have Menayo, who has been playing there this season. On the right, you have had Lea playing there. You have had Simon, who was running from Paris Saint Germain, playing there. You have had Sheila, who is, like we said, is an attacker, but she has played there. So it looks like the defense is another issue Atleti have to strengthen, because in attack and in midfield they look to have done okay, and that position looks to be lacking now, because they can't. You watch the game against Athletic Club, you watch the game against Villa Sociedad, even the game against the bigger side, that's the games who are available to watch. You have them Athletic's defense all over the place, and like you said, that's down to them missing a leader, a commanding somebody. You have Vendongan being thrown out of position easily and a lot of things like that. That is not really great if, like you said, they want to really put themselves as the second best team in the league, because Barcelona right now, they are really far ahead in terms of all the other teams, and in the league, you need something special from the other teams to catch them up. So talking about this season analytics, so far, what's your take on the overall season? Because it's been slightly better as compared to last season, and I think the team now has a little bit of stability. They have an identity, how they want to play, and they are not mixing tactics as compared as last season. So what's your take on this season so far, and which finish will an end to the season will be a good one, because Aletia already out of the Copa del Arena in the round of 16. That's a tournament in which Aletia has struggled. They have not found success in him because they have mostly been eliminated in the quarterfinals or in the semifinals, and they have won that just one time. So what's your take on Aletia's season so far, and what will be a good season?
I mean, obviously the good thing will be to finish second. Like, that would be the best outcome, because catching Barcelona is obviously something out of sight now. But yeah, I mean, the best case scenario will be to finish second, and I think that is what Atleti should be targeting, because Real Sociedad, obviously they have been great this season, kudos to them, but their squad depth isn't there. The squad depth is really poor when competing, so that might come into play as we get towards the end, last part of the season. So I think that is where Atleti can capitalize. Now, obviously, they have been knocked out of the Copa del Arena, so they don't have to worry about that competition as well. So they can purely focus on the league now. And I think finishing second should be the aim, and making the Champions League has to be like losing. They cannot lose out on the Champions League spot again. So finishing second and making that securing that Champions League berth is obviously the ultimate goal this season. Overall, this season, I feel if Real Madrid would have done better at the start of the season when we had like so many injuries and stuff like that, if we would have done better in the league, I feel the way we talk about Real Sociedad or Atleti season would have been a little different. But since these teams had a great head start, I would say, over Real Madrid, now Real Madrid is the chasing team. These teams are like Atleti and Real Sociedad are in a good position. Overall, if you just look at purely the numbers of like for goals conceded and for goals scored, Atleti are clearly the second best side in the league. They have conceded the second least goals. They have scored the second most goal and are the only team that has scored over 50 goals apart from Barcelona. So obviously, if you just look at those numbers and even the underlying numbers, like Statsbomb posted the underlying numbers, the underlying goal difference, expected goal difference figures for the league, and Atleti were comfortably the second best team based on those numbers. So that is the thing. Like, if you look at those numbers, it would suggest that they haven't been like that bad, but they can be better. Like, that is the problem. They are creating chances, yes, but are they putting them away? No. Like in the previous game against Sporting de Huelva as well, there was an opportunity for Ludmila where she rounded the keeper but didn't finish. So I mean, those chances you have to take. I mean, if she would have finished, the game state would have altered and, everything goes differently then. So that is what has been the case. Like, they get the chances, they create the chances. They have players like, they have creative players like Banini now. They have creative wingers like Latore who can create chances as well. So there are players who can create chances and the players are creating chances. But the problem is they aren't putting those away up front. And if they can gain some sort of consistency in there, that would be a big help. That would be a massive improvement and would see them, finish quite high and where they want to be as the season progresses. So I feel that is something that needs to be worked on. That has hurt Atleti in the last two seasons, to be fair. So that definitely needs to be worked on. And as I suggested, that Atleti should be looking for an out-and-out striker. Proper number nine, not somebody like Ajara and Chodo, who they got in. And like, she also performs better when positioned out wide and allowed to come in. So this is what they have to identify, the right profile firstly, because yeah, Kagatlan is great. You have to utilize her more. She can be a proper goal threat from out left, but you have to get a proper goal threat through the middle. Ludmila isn't really a number nine. She can play alongside one, but she isn't really a number nine. Same with Daina. Daina is more of an attacking midfielder or a shadow striker or a second striker. So that is the thing. They have to get a proper number nine who can be a difference maker. And I mean, the market is open. They can find one. They have to just look in the right areas, I feel like. So, yeah.
So it's basically the same issue the female team have with the male team, because the male team is full of secondary strikers and the female team is also full of secondary strikers. You just talk about Dana and the fact she's more of an attacking midfielder. So she joins her third season, or let me say second, because the first season didn't play a lot of games, but this is basically her third season in reality. So what's your take on her progress? Because she seems to be having more and more influence in the team, and not just in scoring goals, but also in creating them. And as said, she's also the set piece taker, which her deliveries are really great, and Aleti has scored a couple of set pieces from her delivery. So what's your take on her development, and how do you see her becoming more influential in Aleti, or maybe taking a leading role, as say maybe that of Lacy Santos, because Lacy Santos is also another South American who has been good in the team, and she's really, really outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, Daina is one of the best young players in the world. Like, that has not been a secret. That has always been clear that her talent spoke for herself when she took on the Under-17 World Cup in 2014 and finished as the joint top scorer, I think. If my memory serves me correct, like she is a fantastic talent. Like, her talent has never been the question. When she played for Florida, I think she won the best midfielder and the best forward award for the collegiate soccer that goes on in the US. So yeah, I mean, her talent was never the question. When she arrived in 2020 January, I think the first 6 months were tough, which is understandable because, you know, it's a new country. She needs to settle in. She needs to take care of whatever is off the field. We often don't account for those things, but yeah. So first 6 months, it was a slow start for her, but then she showcased what she was all about. I mean, she finished previous season as the highest goal scorer and the highest assist provider, if I'm not wrong. So I mean, that just showcases her importance for the team. Like, she, as you say, she is a great set piece taker as well. So she can affect the games from dead ball situations. She can create chances from corners. She can create chances from set pieces. So she has all of that. And she's a really, really smart player when, you know, off the ball or on the ball. She is really good. She has excellent long shooting ability. I mean, she can hit the ball from a range very well. Yeah, I mean, she is just fantastic at that. And recently, like, we have been seeing her, you know, develop into a more tactically sound player as well. Like, she's contributing in the press as well, defending, helping the fullbacks. And what has been my highlight for her this season is the rotation she has with Lacy in the midfield during the build-up. Like, she would often drop deep. Like, she would show for the ball, but she wouldn't receive it. She would be opening space in between the line for Lacy to make the run in and stuff like that. So she is developing tactically as well, really well. So I mean, yeah, her potential, her ceiling has always been high. She has a slight temper issue, I would say. Like, not really a very significant one, but she gets worked up when things aren't going her way. But I mean, that will settle down, I feel like, with age. But that fighting nature of her, that talent ceiling on her, I mean, it's just incredible. She is a great player, and there is no doubting that.
Well, off the pitch, you can basically see her joking and smiling with Lacy Santos. Both of them are South American, though from different countries. But I think that's the closest person she has in the dressing room. And that link up on the pitch is good for reality, because when you watch their game, you are like, confusing which of them plays as maybe the attacking midfielder or the striker, because they keep on switching the roles and everything. This season, Daina is Aleti's top scorer with 9, that's joined with Ajibade, the Nigerian. And though she has not been as prolific as last season, but there's still a lot of games left in the season to play. And like you said, she's getting mature, she's becoming more tactical, and that is really great for her. So one of the things I think many newcomers to Spanish female football don't know about is the fact that Atleti has a very fierce rivalry with Barcelona, which is something they don't know. Barcelona won the league from 2016, I think, to 17, and Atleti took over. So, but this the past 2 years, Barcelona has kind of left their great rivals in the dust, and it's really hurting for someone like me because those are the games I used to live for, watch, actually, when Atleti win. Like, for example, Atleti are basically the last team to defeat Barcelona in the league, which was last season 4-3. I kind of enjoyed that, even though I know we're miles behind them. So, do you think, well, this is a question, I think the answer is clear, but do you think there's any catching Barcelona? Maybe not now, maybe not now, but in the long run. Or and we have talked about the things Atleti need to do to straighten up, but do you think there's a possibility of catching him because they are really good?
I mean, yeah, I would hope so. Like, look, I truly believe that football is cyclic. So what Barcelona have now is special, obviously. Like, there hasn't been, you know, many instances like this. There have been great teams, obviously. There's Lyon, obviously. There's Wolfsburg. There's Derby in Potsdam at once. So there have been all these great teams, and Barcelona is one of them. So we are truly talking about one of the all-time great squads ever assembled. So, yeah, I mean, they are currently far ahead of anyone else in the league. They are just that good, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, you know, with contracts running up for Barcelona, with injuries and stuff like that, you cannot predict what is going to happen. They will obviously stay in the upper echelon, but I think teams will catch up. Like, obviously, Real Madrid are in the game as well now, so they will want to build something bigger and better. And now, with the signing of Sofi Savava, a really highly talented player, I think that was one of the statement signings as well, because if I'm not wrong, there was some fee paid as well, like a big fee paid for her. So they are showcasing that they will push for it. They will push for the good players. They will push for the really talented ones, and they're ready to pay the money. So as teams like Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid start investing more and start getting those players, the gap will close down. It won't be that Barcelona will always be that far ahead, and that cycle would, you know, as football changes, as football progresses, there will be cases of for the other teams. But right now, it's Barcelona in a different tier compared to the rest of the teams. So, yeah, it's amusing to watch, and it's also frustrating because it's your direct rival, you know. So you can't really be really happy for them. But watching them play, it's you know, watching them on the field, you can see why they are where they are, because they are truly a magnificent team right now. So yeah, kudos to them. But I think, yeah, the gap will close with in the coming seasons, as teams invest more, as teams keep adding depth, as teams keep making the right decisions. So yeah, it will happen. Not now, well, but it will happen soon.
Hopefully it happens soon for me, because I kind of live for those days in which we won the league 3 times in front of them, and them finishing second behind us. Well, like you said, Real Madrid is has been added to the mix, so it makes things kind of interesting. So talking about the rest, you said Barcelona and Atleti of their own, that is true, because currently they are 22 points above second place Real Sociedad. But comparing from the fourth to the from the second to right up to maybe the sixth, you have teams that are fighting for the two remaining spots for the Champions League, because with the introduction of the group stages in the Champions League, the number of teams that participate from Spain into the Champions League kind of increased to 3. So you have Real Sociedad, who are currently occupying the second spot, and you have Tenerife Granadilla, who has really been a surprise this season. You have Atleti in fourth position, Atleti Club, and you have Real Madrid. So these are the teams who are fighting for the remaining two positions. Real Madrid kind of have 3 games in hand, and if they can win those games, then they'll be back in the mix, because currently they are really far away from third place, UD Granadilla. That's 8 points, but 3 wins is 9 points. And their opposition they are playing against Atleti Club, who are ahead of them by just a point this weekend. Then you have one of their delay games against Atletico Madrid. So, you know, the delay game, you have their game against Atleti, which is midweek. And then later on, they play against UD Granadilla, who are in third position. And then you have the Champions League coming up. And you also have, which is against Barcelona. You also have Barcelona You also have them playing in the semifinal, in the quarterfinals of the Copa de la Reina, which is really tough. So, Yash, what's your take on the top four, and what do you think are your Real Madrid's chances of qualifying this year for the Champions League?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we will be able to make it given our recent results and how we have been trying to build on the momentum on the pitch. Obviously, it hasn't been that drastic of a change. We haven't like improved a lot tactically, but the team is riding a momentum. So when a team is riding momentum and there are players who can make difference, like Esther has been great for us. So when you have players like that, when you have players fit, when you have a whole squad, Real Madrid squad is pretty good. I feel we have a couple of difference makers who can, you know, change the game on their own. So I do believe we have a chance. And as the season progresses, the squad depth will matter a lot. It's a big month for us, obviously, as you mentioned, all the fixtures that we have against the direct rivals for the spots. So that is going to be a really crucial month for us. March, it will be what will make or break our season. But I feel like we will be able to finish in the top three spots, or if not top three, then we will be fourth at best, I feel like. Because anything below that would be, I feel, a little disappointing. But I am positive of our chances with the games in hand and stuff like that. Obviously, I would have liked for the points to be on board rather than games to be in hand. But it is what it is. We have to make the best of it. And currently with a fully fit squad and the momentum that we have, I think we will be able to see out some positive results in the month. And that will make a lot of difference going forwards. So, yeah. And talking about the Champions League spots, apart from the obviously mentioned names like Real Sociedad, Atletico Madrid, Granadilla, there are also teams that are, you know, kind of like party poopers for others, like Levante. They can obviously cause a shocker every now and then. And they're obviously a great team, but this season they haven't been that good. And obviously, since they lost so many key players, it was obviously going to be tough for them. So, yeah, they haven't been that good, but they can obviously, you know, turn up and then give a hard time to any of the teams. Then there's Athletic Club. Like, they are one of the clubs that have really been, I mean, results-wise, they haven't been that impressive. But, oh boy, what they do on the pitch, the new manager, that is really, really impressive. Like, they are really a team to watch out for. They also like a true striker, but the policy limits them to, you know, not sign from outside. So they are reliant on their academy to produce a good striker next, which I don't know, like the scene doesn't look that promising. But the things they do on the pitch, they gave Barcelona a hard time when they last played them. They clearly showed how you can break them down. And they are really impressive. I mean, Athletic Club are one of the teams, one of the highlights of the season for me in terms of how they have improved on the pitch and what they do with the ball, what they do off the ball, and how well organized they are, how clear they are in their ideas, and how well they are playing out of pressure as well. Like, there have been sequences where they just played brilliantly out of opposition pressure. So, yeah, I mean, the new manager is doing a great job there.
Well, you just talk about Athletic Club now. Well, the game Athletic lost to them last time out 2-1, and wow, they were really compact because they kind of made Athletic to be in 16 and 7 in the defense. And when Athletic had the ball in their final third, it was like tough to break down. They had to take a transition and maybe a moment of brilliance from Galana, and Athletic were able to equalize. But Athletic lost. That was their first win against Athletic in 10 years, I think. So the race for top four is on, and hopefully Athletic can finish in the Champions League places, and hopefully not for Real Madrid, because, well, they are just coming and they are already achieving much, which is danger to us. So to watch games in Spanish football is really tough because you have to dig deep. For example, I, as an Athletic fan, you have a group of Athletic fans on Instagram, which they basically go and watch games and they stream the game for us using their telephones. That's basically the only way I watch Athletic home games. But the fun fact is, all of Athletic's games have highlights. And I don't just mean highlights, the quality highlights, but you can't watch the game, which is really tough. I don't really understand what is going on. It's not just with Athletic, but all over the league. I think apart from Real Madrid, Barcelona, Real Sociedad, and Athletic Club, who kind of have YouTube channels, and they are portraying a game. That's basically how you have to watch the game. So it's been a thing back and forth. The league just became professional some few years ago, and there was a TV deal, but that went out of the window. So Yash, what's your take on the broadcasting? Because it is really hurting the league and also hurting the progress of the league, and not just because players don't cannot come in because they don't have be a lot of viewership. You also have the 11 Pro, and you have just one player from Spanish league, which basically Barcelona are the best team in the world. So, and you have some nominees like Jenny Emoso, who came second, but is not even there. That's down to the fact because many of the voters, well, they don't really have access to viewing. So what's let's talk about this broadcasting issue Liga Iberdrola is having.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, convoluted matter that has been going on for a while, and it has been hurting the progress of the league. Obviously, it has been hurting the visibility of the league, which is what matters when you're trying to market a product to, outsiders or to other countries or to other fan bases. Because if you cannot guarantee that they can at least see the games, then how are you going to tell them that there is a quality product there? Because the product is there, dude. There are teams like we have spoken about Athletic Club. Yeah, they are great team. Real Sociedad, great team, great young players, amazing talents. So yeah, I mean, Levante as well, they have got some great players. But the problem is the visibility. You don't get to see, I mean, if you cannot even watch the games of Atletico Madrid regularly, then I mean, the situation looks bleak for the teams that are down the table, in the lower half of the table. So that is what is the problem. Accessibility has been a problem, and that is something that needs to be resolved pretty quickly. I mean, you can talk about all about the league being professional and stuff like that, but if it isn't reflecting in better conditions, in better visibility and better marketing for the players, the conditions won't improve. You have to first sell the product to be able to improve the product. But that is the thing.
Yeah, it's really hurting because, I think after the 2019 World Cup in France, in which the women football league got a lot of popularity, and that kind of set the mark of change because it brought in a lot of interest. The attendance was great, and also the broadcasting. So you have in Spain a lot of passionate fans. Athletic fans are very passionate. That of Barcelona, Real Madrid. You have a lot of passionate, even Valencia, Sevilla. You have a lot of passionate fans. And those teams have female teams. But the issue now is there are guys like us who are really passionate and really dig deep to watch those matches. But you have these other guys who are really interested in watching the matches. But due to the fact that they don't have a lot of motivation, they just kind of give up. You are talking about selling the league outside, which is will improve the league, but it is also difficult for those who are even in Spain to even watch the games, because apart from Barcelona or Real Madrid, who have consistent TV channels which you can watch their games, but I will not say all. The rest is just really bad. You talk about Atletico Madrid, you cannot even watch Atletico's games. They are not even guaranteed to watch their home games. It's like you have to do move mountains just to do that. So these teams have passionate fans, and It's really sad because you see the English league, they are really going far. I think they have a new TV deal, which is really great for them. And that increases their financial power. That means they can be pulling most of our players from La Liga, which is really bad, and you hurt the league. You also have the French league. You have Canal Plus, who shows their games. You also have the German league. And you have the Australian league. You have the American league. Those leagues are growing. And you have the Spanish league, and there are lots of talents there. And you have those household names like Real Madrid. You have Athletic Club, you have Barcelona. Those are teams which can attract players. But the issue is, you as the player, you are going there. I think most of the things you may have in your mind, maybe apart from Barcelona, or Real Madrid, they have the financial backing and are going to be the best. Barcelona is really the best at the moment. You have those other teams looking, you have those players looking at the other teams like Stepping Stone, which is kind of hurting the league. So what do you think should be done? Because I kind of read an article today talking about despite the fact that the league went professional, they signed a contract, I think with movie star, but you had difficulties in the camera crew coming in and setting everything for able to be broadcasting and everything. So it looks like there's a little bit of division, not just within maybe the federation and the clubs, but also within the club itself. So it kind of needs a unity for the league to progress. And that will start with maybe the bigger clubs saying, yes, we bring this and that and sit together and discuss. Because I think a federation, an association was created for the league in 2015, with the kind of that kind of kickstart the project to become professional. So what do you think needs to change, and so that our league can become as maybe more watched as that of the Premier League? Because I was really sorry, not the Premier League, the Women's Super League. And I was really happy with the fact that on here you had the Barcelona's Copa del Arena game, which was available on ESPN, but that was really great. So what needs to change?
I mean, what needs to change is that everybody needs to work towards one common goal. The problem is, it's difficult. I understand that there have been differences. There hasn't been a unified effort towards it, because there are so many parties involved that there is always a conflict of interest at times. Even though, like, we obviously every fan wants that we have something like, the FA player for the Women's Super League. Now, since we are talking about that, you can watch games like for countries like I'm from, like India. We don't have an official broadcaster, so you can watch literally every game for free on the FA player. So fans demand something like that for the Spanish league as well. It hasn't been the case because there are so many parties involved. There's federation, there's the broadcasters, there are teams. So all these parties are conflicting amongst each other. It's a really, convoluted issue that need that, I don't think anyone has the proper clarity on what the situation stands and where the problem lies in. It's really difficult to point it out. But the thing is, I hope it gets resolved soon. I hope the money pouring in increases, because these teams deserve it. Like, the conditions that some of the teams have, it's really unacceptable for a so-called professional league. You see Rayo, and they don't even have the basic, you don't they don't even have the basic change room facilities. They don't even have the basic medical facilities. They are using other teams' medical services. So I mean, that is not ideal, dude. That you can talk about all about the league being professional and stuff like that, but if it doesn't translate to what we see, what the players, if the players feel protected, or if the players feel, valued, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. You have to show what you are talking about. It's all talk right now. It's all, quote unquote professional league, but you don't really see that on the field, or on in terms of investment and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, that needs to improve, that needs to change, and it starts with taking the risk and investing the money in the product that definitely deserves more attention and definitely is marketable and is a great product. So yeah.
Yeah, hopefully things change for the good. So I let you play UD Tenerife Granadilla this weekend, and the other rivals, Real Madrid, take on Athletic Club, and you also have Real Sociedad, who will be playing this weekend as well. So what's your take on Athletic playing against Tenerife UD? Because they need those 3 points, and those 3 points will get them closer to their goal, which is finishing in the Champions League places, because a win today will take them above UG Granadilla. So what do you think on that game, and what are your possible outcomes?
Well, I hope you guys drop points for the sake of Real Madrid, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, that will be a really interesting game to watch. There are some great fixtures this weekend, which will be decisive in the race for the top three, obviously. So yeah, I mean, I hope it's a great weekend of football, and I hope it's positive for Real Madrid, to be honest. If all our competitors are top point, that's the best case scenario for me.
So this is all for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of the Partido Partido podcast. Yash and Emmanuel ran into some technical difficulties toward the end, so they couldn't really have the chance to say the farewell themselves. So that's why I'm throwing an editor's note here at the end. But yeah, make sure you tell us if you want more episodes about the women's team in the future. And yeah, thank you so much for sticking with us towards the end. Of course, thank you to Yash for joining us for today's episode. And I'm just gonna end it as usual. Remember, nunca dejes de creer, and see you in the next episode.